Hello and welcome to another episode of the Blue Team Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. It's the final episode of the 2021-22 season, so this week we'll be looking back on the highs and the lows of the campaign, and we'll be discussing our end of season award winners. I'm Colin Byers, and with me once again, Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along. How are we this week?
Yeah, I'm very good, thanks. How are you?
Not bad. That's it. The season is coming to a close. We'll finally get back to normality. get more Monday, Tuesday nights free again.
Yeah, it's been a quick season, but as I said a couple of weeks ago, it's fine to get a proper full season as well.
Aye, yes. I think that's one thing we're going to probably touch upon from we start, is the fact that fans were back, and it just felt like normality again.
Yeah, also we're very fortunate to get in from there was restrictions and fans couldn't get in, but it was a very eerie, very strange, it's now fit bad as we, you know, and everybody knows it. So it was good when fans did get back in, even the restricted crowds, the 259 or so. You know, it still felt that we were on the right track, and then also in the end we've now got back to normal crowds, which is really, really good.
It's good to see the bar busy again as well, which is good, which is a good money spinner for the club on a Saturday.
Yeah, it's good to see, as you said, it's good that we're, you know, you're allowed back in and get a few drinks. And also there's been some healthy away crowds as well, which is, I'm sure, has helped the club.
Right, before we move on to that, just quickly touching on some news that has been happening in the last week, some of the releases that the club have announced. So Alan Cook, Ryan Conroy, Darren Kesson, Jadel Mashanu and Connor Cullen will all leave the club at the end of their contracts. No real surprises there. I think we kind of touched upon maybe some of those ones last week.
Yeah, none of them really surprised me. I know the club did offer Ryan Conroy a contract. I did think that if he was offered one, he might stay another year. Obviously, he's decided to go to team up with Simon Ferry. Fantastic opportunity for Simon and for Ryan. So, yeah, no qualms with him going. Disappointed that I think Ryan's a very good, you know, very good player for us and could certainly still do a job next season. But the rest of the guys, and none of them really strike me as a surprise that they've decided to leave.
The fact that Ryan Conroy and Simon Ferry are close. Paul's probably swayed them for that as well, but you're probably right. Of those five, I think Ryan probably could have still offered someone. I know Alan Cook's only 30, but his injuries have obviously played against him. So you then offer a contract to somebody who you're not sure how much game time you're actually going to get with him.
Yeah, I think unfortunately Alan's injuries really kind of helped him. And I think it would have been a risk going into next season to offer a player a contract with, you know, the potential of only playing half the games. Based on the last couple of years, he's struggled with injuries. So, yeah, I can see why the club or Alan's decided that a change is maybe needed.
Another piece of news is that Russell McLean has been transfer listed. Probably more of a surprise to most that that's come about. The official line is that he's unsettled.
Yeah, that's the official line. you know, I've said it the last couple of weeks, and, you know, there's a lot of people at games notice as well around about this. I wouldn't say his attitude, but maybe the application in the last couple of months just hasn't quite been there for Rusty for one reason or another. And I think maybe the team has suffered with that as Finney's been up front. However, on the flip side, you're going to lose a lot of his goals as well. You know, I think there's pros and cons to transfer listening. If he's not happy, ultimately, you need to have a happy squad. You know, and if he's decided, or the club's decided, or, you know, the agreement's there, that it's time to move on, then so be it. But on his day, a really good player. I think whoever snaps him up, whether it be League One or League Two, I think we'll get a really good player.
Is he maybe a victim of the change in mentality of the team? Because obviously it used to be like a long ball team. It was just punting up the park kind of thing. Whereas now it's more about, you know, the little intricate passes. It's a shorter kind of game. It's a bit quicker. Maybe the game doesn't suit Russell. But on the other side as well, what we've said a few times this season, in fact, that he probably plays better with a partner.
Yeah, I think he's probably a victim, maybe not the style, but of the formation. I think the one up top really doesn't suit Russell. Having said that, with the intricate link-up play that we're now seeing to be playing, I think he is good at... When he's playing well, he can take the ball into feet and his chest. He drops deep. He did it at the start of the season. He would drop deep and allow runners to go beyond him. And I think that's a benefit of playing two up top. I don't think Jim will go with that next season. I think he still will stick with the one player up top. And unfortunately, that's Ned Russell's game, really.
So we'll wait and see what happens with that one. Nine players still left for their future still to decide. That's McCarthy, McDonald, Long, Fraser, Jordan Brown, Lenny Wilson, Nia Payne, Rico Katongo and Scott Brown. The news that was announced today is that there's no news, basically. So we're just a waiting game. It's something that we're getting used to now as Peterhead fans, because it just seems to kind of drag on and drag on. They've still got a few more weeks left until their contracts are up, but what I would say is, you see a lot of clubs are sorting out these things pretty quickly.
Yeah, I think, you know, especially over the last couple of years, money has been, you know, even more tighter for clubs. So I think it's good to get the business done early. And I'm sure Jim will have a fair idea of the board will in their minds who's likely to stay and who's not. They'll have, you know, I'm assuming the players will have given some indication of whether they want to stay or not. But I think you'd like to see come this time next week that a bit of movement one way or another, because also the club need to plan for next season. I'm sure Jim's got his targets in mind, but also you can't really go further forward until you can't, what's happening with the current squad.
Yep, it's just be a waiting game, seems to be. Right, so let's get on with our season review then. 21-22 is now gone, and we look forward to the new season. As we said at the beginning, fans were back. Limited numbers for a start, but as the restrictions got lifted and things got back to normal, it did feel like normal service was resumed, which is good. So we'll start with the League Cup. We were drawn against the Hearts in Inverness Cove and Stirling. Probably on paper a difficult group, considering obviously the results we had against Cove previously in last season, obviously Hearts Premier League, Inverness challenging at the top end of the Championship. So it was always going to be a difficult group. Best probably our hope was finishing third.
Yeah, I think, as you said, on paper it was a tough group, and it proved to be the case. When you look at where the teams have finished this season as well, especially Hearts and Inverness, you can sort of see why it proved to be a difficult group. But also I think it's a very good exercise for the team as well. You know, you don't have to come up against that quality opposition often. I think it's good that the players get to test themselves. Okay, it was only a couple of games, but I still think it's a good exercise for the team and the manager.
Ironically, as we'll touch on later on, is that our only win, it was against Cove. It was the rest of them was three defeats. We started with 2-0 defeats against Hearts and Inverness, and I think after that you're almost writing the rest of the campaign off. Certainly the League Cup campaign, I should say. You're almost writing that off.
Yeah, although it was defeats, I didn't think the performances were too bad, to be honest. I think there was definitely early signs of, you know, the team coming together and gelling pretty well. But as you said, once that two results had happened, you're sort of writing the League campaign off. League Cup campaign, sorry.
You did the same thing, didn't you? You know, with the 2-0 win against 2-0 loss against Hearts, I should say. I mean, there was nobody in the ground. You're playing a team who was just coming. That was virtually their first game, so you never knew. You didn't really know what was going to happen with that. But I think in the end, Hearts pretty much, you know, controlled it in the end. Inverness was probably going to be a disappointing, I think.
If I remember the Hearts team, I think there was that many that you call youngsters or fringe players. I remember Gary McKay, Stephen, he was up top, because there were a lot of good players on the park. So yeah, it was a tough game for us, but I certainly think we didn't disgrace ourselves even at 2-0.
Then the 3-1 win against Cove, Scott Brown, Lyle Cameron and Rusty getting his first goal back as well. And this one, went against the grain in terms of the results. I don't know if this was maybe a wake-up call for Cove for later on in the season, or if it was maybe a false kind of dawn for us maybe.
Certainly a false dawn for us, because once I've seen we've beaten Cove, I thought, well, you know, we've struggled with Cove lately, so, you know, if you can beat them, okay, it was in the cup competition, but you thought, you know, we'd be on for a really good season. Alas, it didn't quite turn out to be like that, but, yeah, I think the performances, although defeats against Hearts and Inverness and a win against Cove, I did think the early signs were good. Okay, maybe in the results, but I don't really think performance level and performance wise, I thought we did really well.
And less said about the Stirling loss, the better. So we end up actually finishing bottom with the 3 points. Sorry, I think you've maybe touched on it there, but it is a good exercise. It is essentially it's 4 extra pre-season games. Unless you're a team that's, I'm going to say guaranteed, but like a Hearts or an Inverness, Stirling, because they finished second but didn't qualify, it is really just a case of just getting the players' fitness and tactics right and things for the coming season.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a huge lover of the format of the cup, to be honest. I think it's strange that you, obviously I know that teams have got to be eliminated, but I think that it's strange that you can finish second and Stirling may actually go through.
Yeah.
You know, you could say it adds a bit of excitement to the last game, depending if you're going through or not. But I generally think most managers in League 1 and 2, maybe even lower half the Championship class, is glorified pre-season friendlies. To me as a fan, you go to the game, you don't really expect much out of the cup competition. You know, it starts in July, August. So to me, it's extra pre-season games. Against good sides, you can test yourself, but I don't know really look much beyond that, to be honest.
Scottish Cup campaign as well probably didn't really invigorate things for this. Got a decent draw in our first game, 3-0 against the Civil Service Strollers. It was a really good performance, 3-0 away from home. Could have been a tricky one, but in the end it was a professional performance.
Yeah, I think we touched on it just before the game was done. The game was played and we thought it was a banana skin. A lot of people had been expecting maybe Peter Heaton can do there and struggle. We didn't really change the team either. It was one of our strongest teams that we put out. Professional job, I think Jim realised the importance of it as well, the players as well, they did. As I said, potential banana skin, so I was pleased that we came through it. Good performance, good result, and it was a no-win situation for us. People were expecting us to win, but a few people would have thought it's a banana skin. And the fact that we won, most people wouldn't have raised too much on eye about it.
And then the next round, another Lowland League side, East Kilbride, this time at home. Slightly maybe disappointing result this time. It was 2-2, had to go through in penalties. But I think the difference between Civil Service and East Kilbride in terms of the league positions maybe told in terms of the performances. And bear in mind, this is where we were going through a run where in the league, certainly things weren't going well.
Yeah, that was our poor part of the season. East Kilbride were a tough team to play against. As you said, we were on a poor bit of form as well. I thought East Kilbride were actually good on the day. They identified our weaknesses pretty early on and sort of capitalised on it. And then obviously went to a penalty shootout, really good penalties in it. And I think on the balance of play, we probably just about deserve to go through, but I think East Kilbride can probably count themselves unlucky that obviously it came down to a lot of their penalties. As you said, at the time from we were struggling, so the fact that we just about got through, I think that would have been a pleasing thing, the fact that we were in the draw for the next round.
Yeah, then the next round we got home tie against Dundee, and I think if this one was played on the Saturday, I think it probably would have been an even bigger attendance. I think it probably would have been a bigger attendance, but the fact it was on a Monday night, I don't know if Valentine's night had anything to do with it, probably not, but it's probably, even though it maybe was on TV, there's maybe slightly compensated for it slightly, but 3-0, I think probably flattered Dundee slightly with that one as well.
I think that was one of our better performances as a team. Dundee won 3-0. But there were large periods of that game, especially in the first half at Dundee struggled. I remember first 10 minutes where they hardly got a kick of the ball. They were under the cosh. They looked like a team that was struggling. It was probably unfortunate for us that they were coming off the back of a win at Tynecastle as well, the Wednesday before it. Maybe just got their tails up. But yeah, Dundee struggled in that game. We couldn't really take advantage. But our performances at that point in the season weren't great either. So a difficult draw getting a Premiership team, but as you said, had it been a Saturday, more people in the crowd, it might have just made a difference, but unfortunately it wasn't to be.
Yeah, and then of course James McPake got sacked after that as well. So
he wins two games in a row and gets sacked.
They get sacked, so that's a punishment for going through. But then, recent seasons, our Scottish Cup results haven't been the greatest, so those three wins were probably bonuses, and maybe just a slight distraction away from the league at the time as well,
which was much needed, because or you could look at it as, you know, the distraction of the cup because we're league form to then slightly tail off. But yeah, it was a good campaign in terms of, you know, for the club, a bit of money coming in against Dundee, but I don't think many people have given us much hope, even though Dundee were struggling of going through.
No, that's it. So on to the league campaign then. So we'll look at the first quarter then, our first nine games. Things started okay. We ended up winning three, losing six. And then look at the opening day result, 2-0 against Alloa. McLean and Payne, but we were touching on earlier on about, you know, two up top,
yeah.
And they combined well for both goals, a goal and assist each. And I think, you know, we left the stadium that day thinking, well, this could be a really good campaign.
Yeah, given it was in the fact of, you know, just in the back of the cup as well, the good performances against Hearts and Inverness, the win against Cove, and then we beat Alloa in the opening day as well. Yeah, early signs were looking really good. We were quite impressed with Russell McLean coming back in. The link-up play with Naya Payne early on looked good. Yeah, as you said, early signs looked pretty promising.
And early signs for Barry Ferguson was that he was not last long either, because he was getting pelters from the small band Alloa fans that were allowed in the stadium that day. And that was just after one game.
Yeah, that was an added bonus, was it?
Aye, it was. That was enjoyable. We did fall with it, but with four defeats in a row, Falkirk and Montrose both away, which, in a funny way, you would probably expect. And then there was the defeat at home to Airdrie, and then at East Fife away. Airdrie won, I think, if you remember, we were 3-0 down with the,
yeah,
and then we started. Then we started, yeah, playing. Scored two goals late on. It was really disappointing with that, because, you know, we'd come off the back of two defeats away from home, but, you know, the home form, which we'll come on to, would help us out. And this one was just so disappointing, because it was waiting until we were 3-0 down before we started playing.
Yeah. As you said, where home form was crucial, and the fact that you have to go 3-0 down before they started playing. Once we did start playing, we caused some problems, we looked good. It was just, you need that to start when you're at 0-0. And sometimes that was a bit of a pattern throughout the season, that you had to wait until you went a goal down or a couple of goals before we actually started playing. So, yeah, out of that four, including these five games, out of that four defeats, it was probably the air dream that sort of sticks in the throat a wee bit.
The East Fife one, you know, we went down there. They hadn't won a game. I don't think they even scored.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've come away with a 3-0 defeat, which is another sort of theme that was going to run through this campaign, is East Fife results. Hugely, hugely disappointing, but it was almost like a shining light on how things were going to go. It was going to be an up-and-down kind of campaign.
Yeah, as you say, with the defeats to Falkirk and Montrose, which you sort of expect, then the disappointment of the Airdrie game. I think the East Fife was one of them games, even early on, you identified it as a crucial game to get something out of. Certainly people had a lot of mixed opinions on it, because some people thought it was a good performance, didn't get the result, and other folks seen it as, well, you know, it was poor because you've lost 3-0 to East Fife. And I'd probably say, you know, okay, performance was good, but at the end of the day, it's a results business. You can play the best football in the world you want, you can finish bottom, it doesn't help you. So we needed to, I think that was a game that maybe eyes were opened up in Peter Ian's, folk realised, well, wait a minute, this might be more of a down season than up. I'd say being pessimistic, it's just when you look at, take that four games and four defeats, it was maybe the eye-opener for some people.
And another theme that's going to run through is the lack of the goals, or not taking more chances at the right time, whereas I think East Fife probably only had four or five chances themselves, but they took their chances, and that's the difference.
Yeah, you were at the game and you said that East Fife had four shots on target and scored three goals, you know, and that's the difference. They were taking their chances where we didn't, and as you said, that's a theme that runs throughout the season.
Then on the flip side, the very next game, it was a 3-2 win against Clyde, and I think we blew them away in the first 20 minutes. We were 3-1 up quite early on. Andy McCarthy getting his first ever goal as well. So when I talk about inconsistencies and, you know, up and down kind of season, this one probably summed it up.
Yeah, aye, absolutely. It was a strange game. We played well against these five, but didn't get the result. And then I think we maybe used that as motivation in our next game against Clyde, because it was a really good performance. Started off really strong, really well. We looked good. It was similar to the Alloa performance. We took the game to them. Didn't really give them much of a foothold in the game to start with, and that gave us a platform to go and build on.
And then we had narrow losses to Cove, which is a really dodgy penalty decision, which is still...
Ridley decisions is a theme of the season as well.
Aye, I still don't understand how he's managed to get that, but then that's they've gone and won that.
Is that the one with the corner?
Yes, yeah. Aye, and the ball's gone about 40 feet above everybody, and he's decided he's going to give it
Duncan
against...
Gavin Duncan was the referee.
Aye, he's given it against Andy McDonald, I think it was. It was never a penalty. And then we did it at Queen's Park and lost 3-2, but we were 2-1 up there as well, with about 15 minutes to go or something like that. So, you know, we've lost narrowly to these sides that have ended up finishing higher up in the league than us, but yet we've lost 3-0 to what was arguably the worst team in the league.
Yeah, and that's probably part of the frustration that, you know, our games against these five, I think we only won. Was it 1 out of 5, 1 out of 4? Off the top of my head. I think I only got one win. That was the aim towards the back end of the season. But, you know, the fact that these five finished bottom, we struggled against them. But yet, we put in decent performances against Queen's Park. I think sort of tells you why we finished in the position we did. We were neither challenging at the top. And in the end, we were pretty safe at relegation, although it didn't appear like that for a couple of weeks.
5-0 win against Dumbarton, which which is it was a bit laughable considering the conditions, but conditions are the same for everybody. They just couldn't handle it. They then lost the 5-0. A weird game, because they were actually sitting second, I think, in the league at the time. Second or third, doing well, and then after that defeat, they couldn't win a game in about 12 games or something like that. Ended up where they're at. You thought maybe this was the slight turnaround, having come off the back of that Queen's Park performance, then beating the Dumbarton 5-0, you think we've turned the corner slightly?
Yeah, if I remember, I think the Dumbarton game, I think there was 5 different goal scorers as well. Mm-hmm. So we're pretty confident that confidence would then start to grow through the team. It was a good performance at Queen's, although a defeat. Granted, there was a lot of wind at the Dumbarton game, which helped our cause, 4 goals in the second half. But, you know, it gives players that confidence that we're scoring goals, we're playing well, and you hope that that would have continued for the, you know, the remainder of the season. But as you said, Dumbarton, they sort of, you know, capitulated after that. But as you said, conditions were the same for both teams. We just adapted better to it.
So 9 points after the opening 9 games, which is about par as to what Jim likes to say, what we've mentioned before. He does say if you get 9 to 10 points each quarter, you should be doing okay. So that was level par, if you like. So going into the second quarter, we were doing okay. Second quarter, we've ended it with 3 wins, 4 draws and 2 defeats. So a much better second quarter. And you look at the results here again. You know, away from home, your wins are at Alloa, you've beaten Queen's Park at home, Dumbarton again away from home. So it's decent wins, and they're away wins as well, which is something that we didn't get very often this season.
Yeah, it's away wins were few and far between. But again, as you said, it's teams that you maybe wouldn't expect us to go and win at. I mean, okay, Alloa didn't finish the season in a great position. But, you know, when we played them in like October, November time, going down to Alloa and getting a win is a good result. And obviously beating in Queens as well. So, yeah, the second quarter was a lot better. It's just unfortunate we didn't use that as a platform to go and really build, because obviously, as we'll touch on, the third part of the season wasn't great. But the fact that it was so up and down in the first quarter of the season, the second game was much better and we were getting results that probably on paper you wouldn't have expected us to get, which I thought was going to be give us the catalyst to go and hit a good season.
Well, mentioned the draws, the 4 draws. You had the 2 0-0s against them and throws back to back 0-0 draws, which we had, and then there was the 2-2 against Clyde and the 1-1 against East Fife. And you look at those 4 draws and you think, well, even if you turned 2 of those into wins, particularly at the Clyde one, which is something you've mentioned a few times, having been 2-0 up and then essentially thrown away, would have been in a much better position. But again, that's kind of the theme of what if, you know, and what could have been, if you like.
Yeah, I think this season as a whole, there's a lot of what ifs. I think the timing as well from when we played Clyde, obviously we went 2-0 up and blew it. We played East Fife at the time as well. New to that run, we got 5 points out of 9, which the time of the season, with playing the teams around about us and the fixtures that we had coming up, I felt we needed more points from that particular run of fixtures. And it's something that we've touched on in episodes, you know, fleetingly back and forth, that was a key part of our season. And I just think being 2-0 up and they holding on to the win at Clyde was probably the start of our, you know, January, February decline, to be honest.
And then there were two defeats away from home, Airdrie and Cove. Heavy defeats. I think both were 3-1 as well. So, or 3-0, I think the Cove one was as well. So,
but you're right, Airdrie was 3-1, wasn't he? McDonald scoring from
for some reason, he's going down his own goal. But so I mean, that's, you know, those two teams have finished obviously in the top two.
Yeah.
But we finished that quarter with 13 points, 22 overall, and then we're actually sitting in fifth position at the time. So we're in touching distance of the playoffs. And again, if you look at those four draws, we could have even been in the playoffs. And I think we were right, I think we mentioned it a few times in the podcast, that, you know, playoff could be a possibility end of the season.
Yeah, I generally felt that the players that we've got are, they've got quality, and I generally thought there was an outside chance of, you know, sneaking into fourth maybe, and doing really well, because as I said I felt that there was a quality there. It just, there was certain fixtures and results that, as we've mentioned before, a lot of what ifs. And if we just held on to the win, or, you know, being a wee bit tighter in the last 10 minutes of the half, going into half time, a lot of things like that. And it's a young squad, and I'm sure that'll come over time, game management and things like that. But there's just certain things that we could have done, in my opinion, a little bit better, which would have helped our cause. Not saying that we would have, at the end of the season, been worthy of a promotion playoff, but at that point, as you said, December time, we were fleeting thoughts of it, but obviously that didn't quite happen.
That was our highest position. We weren't going to get any higher than that, but at that stage, you know, you're looking up rather than looking down. Mm. And as we come into the second half of the season, the optimism was there. We were coming to the Christmas period. We were looking at, you know, looking up the way, and there was this kind of feeling of, you know, if we can push on and get results like we did there, we could, you know, could easily be pushing up.
Yeah, there was a few folk, you know, said it was a wee bit cuckoo land thinking we could get promotion playoffs. But again, if you look at the team, you look at the quality and they're capable of, I generally didn't think it was that far fetched. And that's why at times we did mention promotion playoffs in the podcast, because I generally felt that we had the quality in the squad to go and do it. It was just that inconsistency that would come back to bite us.
And as good as the second quarter was, I think it's fair to say the third quarter was equally as bad. Then we've ended just the one win, the next nine, five losses, three draws, seven goals were scored in those nine games. Four of which were in our 4-3 win against Dumbarton. So really, it's three goals out of eight. And I think this is where our season really was made, because we didn't kick on after the good results. And we just, for some reason, we went through a spell. We just couldn't score a goal.
Yeah, we sort of collapsed once we came back after Christmas. And it was poor, because all the hard work that they'd done to get themselves in a good position in the league unraveled, as you said, four goals out of nine, but they were in one game and then became three and eight. It was poor, and there was at times we never really looked like scoring. Again, at times this season we've maybe struggled in games. We've always looked like a threat, either being on the counter attack or you know, having the ball and looking good. But there's periods of that quarter of the season for, we never looked like we were going to score in certain games. We could have been there that night and they had a shot on target. And I think that's the frustration because it was almost like a flick of a switch where we've gone from having a really good quarter to coming back after the Christmas break and then, you know, everything just collapsed. And that was the undoing of our season, really.
The five losses then, it was a 2-0 away when, 2-0 loss away at Montrose, 1-0 at home to Cove, if you remember, it was the Stuart McKenzie goal, punted up the park. McAllister foul on or was it a foul? 1-0 loss at home to Arla, 1-0 home loss to Airdrie, and a 2-1 away defeat at Queen's Park. You look at those, okay, they are defeats, other than the Montrose one, it's all by a single goal. And I think Simon mentioned that last week when I spoke to him, it is 12-13 games throughout the season that we've lost it by one goal. But in those games, I think particularly like the Alloa game and the Airdrie games, what you said, we could have been there all day. It just didn't look as though we were going to score. In Alloa, and I think particularly Airdrie, didn't really need to be out of second or third gear to win that game. They had the gears to go through. We were almost playing it at our, if you like, our best. I know it wasn't our best, but yeah. You know what I mean? We just didn't look as though we were going to score.
Yeah, I think there was a couple of games in a row that went behind, and you could tell in the stadium that folk at that, going through that run, folk didn't have confidence that we'd get back in the game, and we're almost going to games thinking, well, for us to win a day we really need to score at least two, because we looked suspect at the back as well. Now granted, Jason Brown was out for, I think, was it 5 weeks? He was out with an ankle injury. And that also, that didn't help our cause either. You know, you lose one of your key centre halves, and you didn't look dangerous on the, you know, on the offensive side. You're going to struggle. It just seemed to be that everything was going against us at that period in time where, you know, the opposition would have one shot on target and they would score. That was a thing that Brett said to you, you know, February, March time as well. Anytime somebody's a shot, it seems to go in the back of the net. And that was, you know, things were going against us. And we never really, in some games, looked like we were going to score during that period.
I think you kind of touched on it there. It was a case of once we went 1-0 down, we were never getting back into it. And it was almost like, that's the game over inside 15 minutes. And that's a tough rut to get out of.
Yeah, confidence is one of the biggest things in football. When you're winning, everything comes off for you, flicks, tricks, you know, having a shot, it goes in. But on the flip side, when things are going against you, it's very difficult to get that goal. And we said a few times that we're just needing a goal to come off somebody's backside or a hoof up the park or a wind assist, anything to go in our favour. And it was a tough period, you know, not only for the players and the manager, but, you know, fans as well. There was, I think, rightly unrest because performances weren't good. I think fans will accept that we're not the best team in League One, but you expect a certain level of performance. And at times during that run of games, performance levels did drop. And, you know, some of the players are happy enough to admit that. Happy enough is not a word, but they realised that performances weren't good enough. And I think they could sense unrest as well. So it was maybe a bit of a wake-up call that in that run towards the back end of it, that people, you know, the club needed to come together. And, you know, thankfully we did.
Three draws, 1-1 against Clyde, 0-0 against East Fife. So again, it's draws against teams that it's thrown about us. And, you know, that relegation, I think there was a threat of relegation, a relegation battle was there. I don't think it was too much of a concern for us, but failing to beat East Fife, drawing against Clyde, those are the kind of results that will just keep you sucked into it. And then you can go to Falkirk and get a 1-1 draw there as well. So a bit of inconsistency. Had we beaten, again, looking at those draws, turning those draws into wins, would have been in a much better position again.
Yeah, I think there was maybe 2 weeks that you thought the way the fixtures were, that a relegation battle would be made on. And then we, as you said there, we got a draw against Falkirk. And you thought, well, if you can get draws against Falkirk, okay, Falkirk aren't the same team that they were a couple of years ago, but they've still got quality on their side. You felt if you can go down there and get a result, which, if I remember correctly, we had a couple of chances towards the end of the game as well that probably should have won, you think they would just about have enough in the tank to get over the line and be safe. And again, it goes back to over that third bit of the season, a lot of what ifs. If you turn them draws into wins, or you know, the defeats and just getting a point, the season would have looked a lot different.
And thankfully, we played Dumbarton again and we won again, because that was the common theme. But this one was slightly strange because we were 3-0 up at half time. Again, it looked as though we were controlling the game. And then we've won the game 4-3, but in the end, I think we were just hanging on, even against the nine men in the end.
We were hanging on something terrible. To the point that we said if we're playing in our 5 minutes, you fancied Dumbarton to actually get an equaliser at 4-4. And as you said, the last 15 minutes, I think it was 10, 15, we were playing against nine men. But I think it was probably the result that we needed. Okay, fortunate that they went down to nine men. But it was maybe just that win that, you know, we got a win under our belt. Players realised what that winning feeling was like again. It just gave them that enough to kick them on for the last bit of the season.
Yeah, so we ended up with just 6 points out of that quarter. We moved on to 28th. We slipped down to 8th position. I think it's fair to say that we were 8th because Dumbarton and East Fife were so poor. I know we're saying about East Fife picking up points against us, but results elsewhere, they were really poor. So it was a slide. It was a slide that we were going the wrong way. Any lingering hopes of getting into the playoffs,
they were long gone.
Quickly disappeared.
Yeah, they were long gone with that form. And toward the, you know, that last, going into the last quarter of the season, it was all about just making sure you're you know, away for the relegation battle, including the playoff. So yeah, any harbouring hopes that you thought maybe an outside chance of promotion playoffs, they were long gone.
And then the final quarter, incredibly, again, this just shows you the inconsistencies that we've had this season. We had 4 wins, 2 draws, and just the 3 defeats. The 3 defeats came in quite early on in the quarter. So we've actually ended at 6 unbeaten. 3 defeats were away to home to Cove again, a heavy 5-2 loss, 1-0 again against Montrose, and then 1-0 away from home at Alloa. And at that point, it was 1-12. We were really struggling. We were coming to the last 6, and East Fife had clawed the gap to us. Dumbarton had clawed the kind of gap again, but it was still a gap, and I think that was maybe just what was keeping us going, the fact that there was a gap. I think Dumbarton maybe had a chance to even close the gap even further, and they didn't. So we'd built a gap up, but that was being cut back, and then coming in the last sort of 6 games, you were thinking yourself, well, we're not with us yet.
Yeah, I think it was our one weekend where we won and Dumbarton and East Fife drew. Did they play each other and draw? I think there was something.
They did, yeah.
And I think that was maybe the moment that you thought, or you felt that you were almost just one more win away, because you didn't really feel that Dumbarton was going to win 4 of our last 6 to overtake us. So, yeah, I think that was, you know, the fact that they drew and we won the same weekend, I think was the psychological thing. And also it gave us the confidence that we got a win, and that was enough just to kick us on for the last 6 unbeaten.
Which started with a 1-0 win over Falkirk, Jack Brown getting his first goal for the club, and then it was followed up by a 3-0 away win at Clyde. So 2 wins, but 2 clean sheets as well, which is, going back that 12-game run, was unheard of.
Yeah, and you know, 2 wins back-to-back as well. We didn't do that many times throughout the season, so it was good. As you said, it's 2 wins, it's back-to-back, it's clean sheets, and it was good performances as well. It wasn't just a smash and grab in games. We played well, and you could just see that the confidence starting to build in the players. I think they maybe realised that, okay, pressure wasn't quite off at that point because it wasn't mathematically done, but you just felt a relief around the club that, you know, back-to-back wins, and I think players just sort of enjoyed the last 4 or 5 games because they can almost, the pressure was off.
And then going to Dumbarton, getting a draw there, I think a draw was probably as good as a win, because it was up to them to to beat us, to keep to suck us back into that ninth place battle. But I think by that time, East Fife were all but down. So, you know, going down there and getting a draw was a decent result. And I think you said there that was probably one of the results where you think, well, that's it, we're almost safe now.
Yeah, I think the Dumbarton game as well, the fact that it was one of them, if you come up the road thinking the gap was still the same or bigger, then it was fine. We went 1-0 down in the game as well, really good strike. But we've come up the road, the gap was still the same. I felt at that moment, to me, I felt Dumbarton had to win the game to really drag us back into it. They didn't it, and I think at that moment, it wasn't mathematically done, but for me, it was pretty much done there and then.
And we'd said it numerous times, coming up to the last three or four games, that we didn't want to go to the last game at Airdrie, wanting something. Yeah. So getting that draw and then beating Queen's Park the following week, 2-1 at home, and then beating East Fife 1-0 at home, really just cemented our place in the league, and then even pushed us up a place as well above Clyde.
I think we probably got the best team to play with Queen's Park, because they were in fourth, they kind of were getting a playoff, they had nothing really to play for. I think we mentioned it on that week's podcast that it wasn't a really good Queen's Park team that we played. We didn't allow them to play as well. Which again, it comes back to confidence. The players got that confidence for the previous results, and as you said, it was enough to put us up the league. And any harbouring worries you had a relegation or you know the playoff battle going down was diminished.
I mean, it's easy to kind of say, but did it coincide with the fact that Sean wanted to come in and loan at the end of February? He played 10 games, I think it was altogether. So you know, in these 10 games, we've been unbeaten in 6. Although obviously he'd suffered defeat in the other four, but just him coming in, bringing his experience. I know he's still a relatively young guy, but he's got Premiership experience. Did he come in at the right time? I know he's pretty quiet on the park, but it just seems to be that him and Jason seem to form a good partnership at the back.
Yeah, I think Sean coming in did make a difference. I think it was probably highlighted more when Jason came back for his injury. I think the two of them became a really good partnership, and obviously unbeaten in the last 6 shows that. I think Sean, first couple of games, just struggled to settle in a little bit, but obviously the team wasn't in great form either, so you throw that in the mix and we struggled. But once Jason came back for his injury, he's slotted in alongside Sean as well. Rico Katongo going at right back, he did well. I think you know, they tried Owen Cairns there for a couple of weeks. It didn't quite work out. Rico's experience there, I think he's now a right footer. But, you know, between them three across the back, I thought the link-up play was good with him, the understanding. And yeah, I think the fact that Sean Ilkay is relatively young, I think the fact that he came in alongside Jason Brown, I think that partnership was a good point to it to end the season on.
Yeah, and it goes without saying that was our best run in the league. 14 points, finishing 42 points, ending up going to 7th, as I said. And we're well clear of that battle for 9th, if you like, because I think 10th was pretty much sort of well a few weeks prior. But, you know, you look at the four quarters, taking them individually, it's two very good quarters, one okay-ish and one really poor one.
Yeah.
It's, and what we talked about at various stages of the season was looking for, you know, complete 90-minute performances. This is a season where it's kind of mirrored that slightly. It's a case of we get a good performances, then we get a bad performances. There was no real sort of run, if you like, our results, apart from maybe the tail end of the season there.
It was a very up and down season. I think you've touched on it, I think, Jim, as well. When you've got a young squad, you'll always get this up and down sort of periods. And as you said, it was two really good quarters and, you know, parts of the season, and then there was that one in January, February, and just everything sort of tailed off. But I think overall, if somebody had said to us at the start of the season, you know, you'll finish 7th and you wouldn't have really had too much worries for a relegation playoff apart from a couple of weeks, I think Macefoot would have probably seen it. But you're now looking at the future and how you can progress as a club, rather than just thinking we're happy to avoid the drop again next season. How can we improve and then make sure that we're in that outside contention for finishing the playoffs going forward.
And is that what we said earlier on? It was a season of what could have been, what ifs, buts and maybes and things like that. I know, had results gone our way, it could have been better. I know, I look at the results against the teams in the Bootis. You know, we've picked up 6 points against Alloa, picked up 5 points against Falkirk, but we've also picked up 5 points against East Fife. You know, so it's teams that are finishing higher than us. We've picked up more points, but the teams below us, you know, we seem to be kind of struggling against Queen's Park as well. We picked up 6 points against them as well. I do think that the results in Dumbarton has helped us, but it does show that we can beat, you know, the teams supposedly better than us.
Yeah, some of our better performances have been against the teams that are so-called better than us. But it's the East Fife one that sort of sits in the throat, because, you know, everybody seemed to manage to beat them pretty comfortably most of the season, but we seem to be the team that struggled for one reason or another. Especially that game down there at the start of the season, that 3-0 defeat, that's really one that, you know, you look at the season as a whole and you pick out a couple of games, and I think that's one that you pick out as a real low point in the season. Okay, Jim says it was one of the best performances he's seen. Yeah, okay, but we've still no points. I'm sure if we got relegated and says, oh, but with 10 really good performances, folks ain't got to buy that. Mm. You know, it's a results business. He gains that better than anybody. So, yeah, these five games, I think that's the one that sort of sticks out. And, okay, taking nothing like no points against Cove, a lot of teams struggle against it. But as you said, Queen's Park, Montrose, Falkirk, we've managed to pick up points against teams above us. It's just that teams below us that we seem to have struggled, and the wind helped us quite a lot against Dumbarton in two games as well. So, but if you take 6 points off us and put 6 points on at Dumbarton, it just shows you that the fine margins that we're dealing with as well.
Yeah. Look at the 42 points. 28 was it was home points. 8 wins, 4 draws, 6 losses, 24 goals scored, 17 against. We were the fourth best team in terms of home points. Only Cove, Ayrshire and Queen's Park were better than us. But away from home, we only picked up 14 points, just 3 wins, 5 draws, 10 losses, 22 goals scored, 34 goals against. Only East Fife had a worse record away from home. And that, I think, is where our focus might be in terms of, like, well, how can we improve our position? How can we improve our points for next season? It's maybe turning some of those draws into wins away from home next season.
The away form is something that we've never been great at over the last couple of seasons, but, you know, the division's getting tougher every season, and you get up to find a way of turning the away form into something better, because me personally, I think you've got to survive just on your home form. You need to start picking up a couple more wins on the road, and as you said, it's turning them draws and defeats into wins and making sure that you come up the road with something.
So, optimistic for next season, without the playoffs finals being finished by the time of recording this, we're not quite know who's going to be joining us in League One, but it's shaping up to be another interesting and exciting season again.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I think if you can retain the core of the squad, then I think there's no reason why we shouldn't be looking up. I don't want it to be a season next year of, you know, you're worried about relegation. I want us to, as a club, go forward and, you know, try and be a bit more expressive. In the last couple of games, we've been really good. You're wanting that form to come into next season. It's a good young team. If you can add the right players with a bit of experience, I see no reason why we shouldn't outside chance of promotion playoffs. They say we'll get it, but, you know, you've got a harbouring hopes of it.
Yeah, and just put on some decent runs again and cut out the silly mistakes that were pretty frequent at the start of the season as well.
Yeah, there was a couple of performances that just weren't quite there throughout the season. And as you said, if you can cut out the daft mistakes that creep in from time to time, I generally think we should have a decent chance of doing well next season.
Okay, so we'll go on to our end of season awards. We've already announced we're winners on it on our social media, so just a quick chance to follow up on as to reasons to why we've given these awards to these particular people. Player of the Year, I think, was probably out of the four was the most difficult one to kind of nail down. We both had our opinions on who it should be and why. Our three ended up being Andy McCarthy, Nia Payne in second, and Brett Long in third. It could have really gone to any of those three.
Yeah, I think there's an argument that you could make for all three of them to win it. But the fact that Andy McCarthy's just gotten better and better as the season's gone on, he's one of your more consistent performers as well. It's difficult to argue against him. I think that's probably the way we sort of worked out. Well, yeah, we can argue for it, but argue against him. And I think you'd be hard pushed over the course of the season to say that Andy didn't deserve it.
I think the fact that he was awarded by his peers as well, by getting the Players' Player of the Year as well, just shows how far he's come along. And I think as well it's notable that the team, he's missed when he's not in the team.
Oh, absolutely. He's up there with, the midfield. You had Simon Ferry, Scott Brown and Andy McCarthy. And if you team one of them out, you certainly notice it. But I think Andy's at that stage now where he's such a key player that you will evidently be a big miss to him. And that's no disrespect to any other players. That some players you can maybe miss for a game or two and there's somebody, really good to come in. But I think when you take Andy, you lose his engine and midfield. He's difficult to replace.
And now, as we said last week, we've been banging his drum for most of the season, and it probably made him slightly unlucky that he hasn't gotten the award. People maybe look at it and say, well, he's only gotten four goals, but take that away. He does so much more in terms of his work rate, his effort, and the assist that he's got. I think he ended up with 10 for the season as well. So it's 14 goals that he's involved with in a season where we didn't score too many.
Yeah, well, it's ironic because a couple of guys at work, they've seen the announcement says, how can Russell McLean be one of your players of the season? And as you said there, it's not just as a striker, it's goals, it's your overall contribution. And I generally think if Nia scored a couple of more goals, he'd have been a really, really strong front runner for player of the year because he's worked great and he's off the ball movement. Again, he's not Abdi's cup of tea. Some people just think their striker should be judged on goals and, it should be Russell McLean. But for me, Naya's overall work rate, how he brings players and, his teammates into the game. And I just think we were better as a team when he was up top than we are with other players that's in the team.
Brett Long, again, it's fantastic performances. I know we've conceded a lot of goals, but a lot of those goals might have been higher in terms of conceded if it wasn't for him. And he, some of his performances, particularly in the latter stages of the season, were very good and was certainly worthy of a top three spot.
On a season of what ifs, again, it's another one of them what if we didn't have Brett Long because. There was a period in that season, as you said a couple of months ago, he was leading the charge for saves. And whilst it's good he's saving it, I think that was sort of his January and February approach, but identified with a problem of conceding goals and shots. Brett Long, I think, was deservedly in our top three. And I think, if we can retain him next season, then it's a position we really don't need to worry about.
Some notable guys that we considered was Jason Brown, again, fairly consistent through the season, gets better as the years go on. Scott Brown, again, fairly consistent, maybe just been outshone slightly this season in terms of the midfielders in the boot, i.e. can't say if it would be Niall McCarthy. Andy McCarthy, so not to say that he didn't have a good season, it was just that maybe he was, as I said, outshone by others, and of course Rusty with his 15 goals. These guys were all considered, but we nailed them. We eventually nailed them our top three.
Took us a couple of weeks to agree on it, but yeah, Scott will always give you a 7, 8, 9 out of 10 every week. I don't think he's had a bad season at all, but I think that there's certain players just kicked on a gear this season, and the benefit for runs in the team for last year and this year. As we said, Scott's not had a bad season. I just feel that there's players around about him that have just taken that extra step.
Young player of the year, so we're top three. Grant Savory won it, Ryan Duncan, and then Phelan Duffy made up the top three. I think Grant, this one was an easier one to select. Grant being the amount of games he's played, was a standout performer throughout the season, particularly going through that spell. I think he was still one that you felt had the spark.
Yeah, he was the player that you felt could make things happen. He's also a really good ball carrier. He'll pick up the ball deep in the midfield area, and it's just his ability to drive. He's low centre of gravity. He can just sort of drift in and out. Really, really good player, and I think his form at the back end of the season was probably one of the reasons why we went 6 undefeated.
And adding goals as well. I know he's naturally a forward player through his youth career. But getting goals from midfield, where some people were struggling to get goals from midfield, he was able to do that, in particular the last few games. I think he got 4 in his last 6 or something like that. So, you know, again, if we can look at him, he's obviously signed up for next season. If we can play the way that he did tail end of the season, we've got a really, really good player on our hands.
Yeah, we've seen him his first game when he came in. And we thought, no, he's a real, real talent. We're lucky to have him, because you could tell there was just something special about him. And I think we're starting to see the best of him. Okay, obviously the season's finished, but I think if you've got him and firing all cylinders next season, I think he'll certainly be a player that a lot of teams will need to watch out for.
And Ryan and Flynn, probably victims of not playing enough games compared to what Grant did. He ended up with 28. Ryan obviously injured for the first half of the season when he joined. Flynn, although started out well in the team, sort of drifted in and out towards the end, and through no fault of his own, it has to be said. But again, two players that did really well for their ages.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I think Ryan Duncan, the fact that he got an under-19 call-up, under-17 call-up for Scotland, I think just shows you how well he's done. And been a key player since he came in. I think Rico Katongo coming in sort of just put Flynn Duffy in the pecking order slightly. But again, these guys have had good seasons and they'll be looking to kick on for next year.
Yeah, they're respective clubs, so we wish them well. Goal of the season and performance of the season kind of go hand in hand, because it's from the same game. The 3-0 win down at Clyde. In terms of the goal of the season, Hamish's one was the one we went for. There was Andy McCarthy's against East Kilbride and Scott's against Airdrie. Three very good goals, but we went with Hamish's one. And I think from Mike and his perspective, it's because it's on his so-called weaker foot. it was such a good clean hit. That was the difference for me.
So you're now buying it as an overhit cross.
Oh, yeah. Yes, yes.
Fantastic goal on his so-called weaker foot. And I think, as you said, it goes hand in hand with the performance as well, because it was at a time that we were needing results, and, you know, 3-0 away to Clyde. I think most people would class Clyde as a difficult place to go to. The fact that you've come up the road with 3 points, 3 goals, and a clean sheet was really good. I think there's arguments for Andy and Scott's goal as well, but I think the way Hamish takes it, really, really good finish.
And that performance as well, okay, we scored 3 goals, but we've restricted them just to 1 shot on goal in the entire game. And that just shows that the performance as a team is there, and we just need to see it a bit more often.
I think if we keep the nucleus of the squad, they've played another year together, you would like to think that there were, you know, you start getting that consistency levels. And I think we should be on for a good season, providing we can keep the main part of the squad, add a couple of experienced players, because obviously we've lost Simon Ferry, Ryan Conroy, Cookie as well, for his age and experience, Derek Lyle. So you need to replace these experienced guys, because obviously when the chips are doing, you need these guys that have been through it before to keep the heads up. So yeah, add a couple of experienced guys, I think we should do well.
And when we come to do this time next year, around the season review, we'll show how good the season is by the difficulty of picking where player of the year and young player of the year again, because the better the season, I guess, means that it would be tougher for us to pick.
Like you said, the there's been a few contenders, especially for player of the year and what has been a very mixed season. But when you take it over the course of the 36 games, there's been a lot of players that have done well. And next season, hopefully for us, it'll be harder because it means we've had a good season. I'm genuinely excited. I'm not sure about you. I'm genuinely excited for next season. Okay, we've done a game. Which players really are going to be here? There's only five or six signed up. But I genuinely think we should be on for a good season.
Yeah, there's a genuine optimism. I think if we can mirror the performances of the last quarter of the season and going into the next season. But as I said, it's going to be just as tough again. We already know that Kelty's coming up, Dunfermline's coming down, Queen of the South.
Dunfermline will be a good away day.
Yeah, that'll be good. A lot of Fife trips this season. That's a positive. Although we've obviously got a trip to Dumfries, which is about the furthest we could get.
Furthest away, yeah.
And then if Annan go up as well, that's even slightly further as well. So we're kind of wanting Edinburgh to come up, just so it's a slightly shorter.
I'm just fine pleased with the Mahaestron Roar, because that is a trek and a half.
Aye, that's it. And we've got the East Fife and the Dumbarton, so you never know. But as I said, we're looking forward to next season already.
Yeah, I mean, check in with her again in October, November. It might be slightly different. The optimism may have gone. But no, as I said, I generally think that you had a couple of experienced players, keep the nucleus of the squad. And again, I don't see any reason why we shouldn't have a good season. Yeah, you've touched on it there. It's got to be a difficult campaign. The teams that are coming up with Kelty and Dunfermline coming down. But, the player wanted to test himself against good teams. So, next season should be good.
I hope so. Fingers crossed for that. So that is it for the season. Once again, a big thank you to everyone who's been listening this season, either new or old. We do hope you've enjoyed it. I'd also like to add that we do appreciate all the support that we've continued to got in this season, and all the feedback that we've been getting as well, and your interactions on social media keep it coming. My thanks to Martin for being with me here every week for what's been another eventful campaign. Always appreciate your honesty. We'll be back again for next season, but coming up over the next few weeks we do have some exciting interviews both with current and former Peterhead players, so look out on our social media for those. They'll be coming up very soon. Until then, on behalf of Martin Smith and myself, Colin Byers, enjoy your summer, stay safe, and we'll see you all again next season. Cheers.